You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
All right, so I got a question for you. How many of you can tell me what this is? As I slowly unravel it. Anybody? Blueprints. Thank you, Landon, for reading my sermon ahead of time and calling it out. But yes, somebody else said it too. All right, these are blueprints. These are blueprints for the newest edition here at Trinity, the new wing of the classrooms and the chapel, and now I gotta try and roll it back up. There's a lot of information in here. There's a lot of work that went into this, both here, you know, the group of men and women that spent a lot of time trying to put together what do we want it to look like, but then also the architects, right, that put a lot of work into putting it then onto paper so that the builders knew exactly what they were supposed to do. And this is not folding up like it was supposed to. But there's a lot of information in here. And how many of you are people that can look at a blueprint, you can look at that 2D drawing and visualize in your head what that building's going to look like? Is there anybody out there that can? Okay, a few of you. How many of you are instead like me that love HGTV where they build the 3D rendering so that you can see the picture, right? That's me. I need the 3D rendering to be able to visualize what it is that blueprint's going to lead to. You know, I need to be able to see what it is that I'm actually going to see, right? Physically in the future. But the blueprints are really important because they tell the builders what to do. But they also give us all a picture, right? Before a hole is ever dug, before a nail is ever hammered, whether it's through the blueprints or through that 3D rendering, we get to see ahead of time what it is that we're really physically going to see. You know, today we're starting a new series as we walk through the book of Ephesians. And like I said, we really are going to be walking through it as we look at almost every verse. Again, not necessarily, it's not like I'm going to preach on every single verse, but we're going to be able to look at those and read those verses together as a congregation. But today is Blueprint Day. Today is a day that we get to step back and look at what we're going to see more of as we dive into this book. And the first 14 verses in the book of Ephesians give us a glimpse of the rest of the book. And we get to see this as we see Paul greeting the people in Ephesus as he introduces the letter. And then immediately after that, we get this prayer of blessing from Paul to the people of Ephesus. And just so we're clear, so this is one of the epistles. Right? And an epistle, we call it the book of Ephesians, but really this was a letter that Paul wrote to the people of Ephesus. So Paul wrote many different letters, some to different churches. And when I say a church of Ephesus, I mean like Big C Church, all of the people of God in that city. And so, you know, Paul wrote letters. Sometimes he wrote multiple letters to cities. That's why we get like 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He wrote at least that we have for us. He wrote two letters to the people of Corinth, but some we know he wrote more, and they're just not in our Bibles. But each letter was written to a specific church, right? A specific people in a specific city at a specific time. And often those letters were responding to a specific event that's taken place or to redirect God's people in the city. Often those were written to people that he had visited, cities that he had visited, and maybe even helped plant a church in those cities. And he was writing to check back in on them or to encourage them. But at the end of Paul's second missionary journey, and he took three total missionary journeys, but at the end of that second missionary journey, Paul spent 3.5 years in the city of Ephesus. So just to kind of give you an idea of timing of how much time he spent in Ephesus, I've been here for about 4 years, just under 4 years. So about as long as I've been here to get to know you and you to get to know me was about as much time as Paul spent in Ephesus. But we only get, you know, if you want to read about it, you can read about his time in Acts chapter 19, right? One chapter gives us 3.5 years of his ministry in Ephesus. But this is a church and this is a city that Paul knows really well. And he's writing because there's some false teaching that's starting to creep into the church. Ephesus was a city that was had a religious scene as diverse as any other city of its day. There was a large population of Jewish people who were worshiping there, but there were also many pagan temples and many pagan worshipers. If you know the temple of Artemis, Ephesia, if you know the seven wonders of the ancient world, this was one of those ancient wonders of the world, the temple of the Artemis, Ephesia. So this was a big deal. There was lots of pagan worship going on in Ephesus. And so Paul is writing to correct some of this misteaching, some of this pagan influence that's starting to seep into the church. But Paul is also addressing a rift that's happened in the church. There were the Jewish people who are now following Jesus. And there are also these Gentiles, these non-Jewish people who are following Jesus. And there's been discussion, there's been a rift of what's the right way to follow Jesus, right? I'm sure in your homes, you know, husbands and wives, as you got married, I'm sure there was never any discussion on what's the right way to do something, right? Because what is the right way as you come into marriages? What's the right way to do something? I see some of you pointing, my way is the right way. If you're smart, Paul, it's my wife's way. Yeah, yeah. Husbands? No. But it's the way that we've always done it. How many of you in a Lutheran church have heard that phrase before? That's how we've always done it, right? And so you have these Jewish people doing things the way that they've always done it, and you have these non-Jewish people who are just brand new, who are kind of coming in saying, well, that doesn't make sense. What if we did it this way? And there's starting to be this rift in the church. So Paul is writing to address that rift and say, hey, y'all are baptized into the Spirit. You are one in Christ. But as we realize that Paul is writing this letter to a specific church in a specific city at a specific time, responding to specific events, why do we care? Right? We're not part of that specific church. We don't live in that specific context or at that specific time. So why are we reading this? Well, these letters were meant to be passed around. They weren't necessarily just for that city. They were meant to be passed around because they were written for all of God's people. They're important for all of God's people to read, and so they're important for us to read today. They were written for you and for me. And so we need to keep that original context in mind, but at the same time, consider what is it that God is speaking, or how is it that God is speaking to us through this letter today? And there are a few things that I really love about these first 14 verses. First, it's really interesting to me at least, that the words and the phrases that Paul uses here in these first 14 verses are words and phrases that he's going to use over and over throughout the rest of the letter, right? So these first 14 verses, we get a blueprint for how to read and for what's going to come up in the rest of the letter. And I decided not to bore you with the charts and graphs of the different words and phrases that come up throughout the rest of the book. But if you want to nerd out with me on words and things, stop by the office this week and I'll show you the charts and graphs of where words in these first 14 verses come up throughout the rest of this letter. But also, what's more important is in these first 14 verses, we see a blueprint for how God has prepared creation and his plan for salvation, right? We see that God has a master plan to reveal his glory through redeeming humanity in Jesus. Now, throughout this series, I'm going to encourage you to be bringing your Bible with you. Throughout, so as we go throughout Ephesians, you can have your Bible with you, you can highlight, you can make notes, you can take it home with you, and you can take those highlights and notes, and as you're reflecting with your family, or as you're reflecting by yourself or with friends, you can have those notes, you can have those highlights with you. So maybe that's on your phone, or maybe that's a physical Bible that I'm going to encourage you to bring that with you throughout this series. But for today, if you didn't bring that with you, I'd encourage you to pull out one of your Pew Bibles, and turn to page 976. That's Ephesians chapter 1, right? If you're on your phone, go Ephesians 1. All right. as you're opening up to that, you'll see the first couple verses, before we get to the ones on the screen today, you'll see the first couple verses is Paul immediately talking about his plan of salvation through this plan of salvation through Jesus. Paul, in the very greeting, reminds the Ephesians that he is an apostle by the will of God. Right, now, if you remember the conversion of Paul, we used to call him Saul, and then his name was changed to Paul. But this happened as he was walking on this road. He was headed towards Damascus to kill a bunch of Christians because they weren't living their Jewish life. They had gone astray, and Paul was going to kill them until Jesus, and this is the Jesus who had died and risen from the grave and had ascended into heaven. Jesus comes and meets him on that road to Damascus and says, Paul, Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And through like physically blinding Saul, changing his name to Paul, and we can talk more about what he didn't actually change his name, but that's not the point today. But changing it so that he used his Paul as his name. And then using others to help this conversion process, what we see there is that Paul had nothing to do with his conversion, right? It wasn't like Paul was on his way to kill a bunch of Christians, and as he was walking, he thought, maybe those Christians aren't so bad. Maybe I should kind of be like them. Yeah, that's it. I'm going to choose to follow Jesus today. No, that's obviously not what happened. It's obvious that Paul had nothing to do in his conversion. But one could think that maybe Paul was an exception. Maybe Paul didn't play a part in his salvation, but most people do, right? Well, Paul wanted to clarify that as well. And so we get to take a look at verses 3-5 of Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will." Right, Paul wants to be very clear here. God chose you. Maybe he chose you through the waters of baptism. Maybe he chose you through the hearing of his word and the work of the Spirit. But Paul wants to be very clear here. If you have faith in Jesus, it's because God chose you before the foundation of the world, which means that you are incredibly important, right? Not because of what you do, but because of who he says you are, right? You are his child. It says that he adopted you into his family. He predestined you for adoption. He has made you his child according to the purpose of his will. Now as you hear this word, maybe you've gotten into the habit. I hope you've started to get into the habit of following this three-step process that we've talked a lot about. I've talked a lot about it here. If you listen to the podcast on Tuesday nights, if you join us in the podcast on Tuesday nights, you're going to hear this phrase over and over. But God calls us to hear his word and then reflect on it and then to put it into practice. Right? So you've heard his word. I hope that you take his word home with you, that you reflect on it through the week. But this week, the put it into practice might not look any different than last week. And maybe the putting it into practice isn't living differently, but maybe it's a mindset change or a heart change. Right? Maybe even though maybe some of you are lifelong Lutherans and you've been taught from day one that you don't earn your salvation, maybe in the back of your head you still live and do good works just in case. Right, just in case I do need those good works on the last day, I'm going to live a good life. So maybe you put it into practice this week is to still live a life of love and service to your neighbor, but it's not done as a backup, just in case I need these good works to earn my salvation. But instead it's done out of a sure and certain confidence of your redemption through the blood of Jesus, and then to love your neighbor. to pay it forward so that they might know who Jesus is, so that you might live differently because Jesus has made you a new person. But what you're going to find out as we read through this letter is that this letter wasn't meant to be read in like 14 verse chunks. It was meant to be read as a letter in its entirety. And so one of the things that maybe you could do as a family or as individuals or with some friends is to take the book of Ephesians, to take that letter and read it together. Read the entire thing. Now, I like to have things read to me. I'm an audiobook person. I'd much rather listen to it than read it. That's how my brain works. And so if you're like me, if you've got the YouVersion app, the Bible app, it'll read it for you. And if you go on normal speed, and I usually listen to it at 1.5 or 1.75, but if you listen to it on normal speed, it'll take you less than 20 minutes to read this book. So it's not like I'm asking you to take 4 hours out of your day to read the book of Ephesians. Take 20 minutes as a family to read this letter, this book of Ephesians. And what you'll see is that the first half of the book is Paul constantly reminding his people, constantly reminding the people of God of their grace, the grace that God has given them in Christ, that we were all dead in sin and have been made alive by grace through faith. It's not of our works, but it's the gift of Christ. Maybe that started to remind you of a verse that's a very, very popular verse in Ephesians chapter 2. So that's what we get in the first three chapters. But then in the last three chapters, what we see is Paul talks about how that faith that you've been given should impact your life and should cause you to live differently from those around you. So again, not to earn that faith, Paul spends three chapters confirming the faith that you've been given. And because of that faith, then the next three chapters, Paul talks about how we should live differently and stand firm against the assaults of the devil dressed in the armor of God. So this week, as we see this God's blueprint for this letter to the people of Ephesus, and more importantly, God's blueprint for his plan of salvation, may you know that God chose you. Right? He chose you to be here today hearing these words. God chose you through the waters of baptism. God chose you through the hearing of his word and the work of his Spirit. Right? If you have faith in Jesus, it's because God chose you before the foundations of this world. So may you go this week confident in Jesus. Because, and as Paul closes this section, so too will I. May you go this week confident in Jesus because, as it says in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, may you go this week confident in Jesus because in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Amen.